Brother.
Love you, man.
He's going to give his testimony.
Yes. Good morning. David wrote in Psalm 34, he says, many are the afflictions and troubles of the righteous, but guess what? The Lord delivers us from all of them. So we don't have to be afraid. We can walk right into the BLM, and we can walk right into Antifa, and we can show them our guns in prayer. He'll deliver us. We need not be afraid. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We bless your name. We exalt you. We magnify you. We want the world to focus on you, so make us little magnifying glasses everywhere we go, that people would see you, the bigness of your love, the greatness of your glory, Lord. Thank you. Be present today, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Pastor Mike gave me a task, and I'm gonna marry the two together as I can from what you guys just experienced. But Mike asked, he said, hey, can you share your testimony of meeting Grace, my wife? Okay, so we're going to jump into this, and we're going to marry the two together with God's glory, God's kingdom, and his return, and his faithfulness, okay? All right. Whew.
Come on, bro.
Jesus spoke, and he said, unless you forsake all that you have, how can you be my disciple? Right? How do you go and make disciples, like the Great Commission says, unless you're a disciple yourself? How do you go and make disciples of all nations unless you're a disciple? It's like, how can I go and teach somebody how to work on a car unless I'm a mechanic? It's not going to run. So there was a season years ago, a decade ago, where the Lord said, you're done with your career. Okay, that's crazy. Now what? And the only thing he said was just trust me. And you know what? That lines up with this book. That's the core of the book, is trust him. Trust him. So I'm going to spare you five chapters of Jesus doing rad things. But that can be for another time, and I'm going to skip into the chapter of meeting Grace. So now, here's a goofball traveling the world by faith. Lord, I'm stuck in Malaysia. I need to be in Uganda tomorrow. I got $6. I'm going to go have a pizza and a drink and go to bed. You'll be there for my flight tomorrow. Wake up the next day. Hey, well, there's the money. Thanks, Lord. That's awesome. But that kept happening. And in the journey of that, the Lord said, go to Burma. And I said, I don't want to go to Burma. That place is scary. I see it on the news. It looks dangerous. It looks violent. I had even watched a clip of a Japanese photographer that was there. He got shot because he was taking pictures of what the government was doing. And he got killed in the streets. And so here I am. That's my only grid of go to Burma. Whoa, okay. And I went into the room of the house I was staying at on the Jesus Adventure. And I went into a room and I just kind of sunk into the floor and cried. Whoa. Okay. So I called my parents. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. The Lord said, go to Burma. What? Okay. If he said go, then go. I know, but it's kind of scary and crazy. But if he said go, you go. No weapon formed against us prospers. If my God is for me, who can be against me? So I went. And it was totally divine. I would get emails on my phone. Every day I'd get probably 100 to 500 emails from ministries around the world emailing our little ministry saying, hey, send us money and support us. And it wasn't the first email I got from Burma, but it's the only one the Lord said to read and open. And I read it, and he said, you're going there. Whoa. So I randomly, out of faith, I just said, hey, I'll be there in September-ish. Okay, great. Let us know when you come. Okay. Turns out I get there in October, which was pretty wild. All by faith. Ended up in Burma with a plan to just meet this guy, Brother Chan. Can you see it? Brother Chan. Brother Chan. Brother Chan was a neat man. He had a kid's home. It was a boarding school. That's the word. And there's a lot of orphans. There's a lot of kids from poor families. And I get there, and every day for the first 6 days, we are just out doing, going. Keep in mind, it's like 120 degrees, and the humidity is like through the roof. You just are never comfortable, even if you're sitting in front of the air conditioning. Every part that's not getting the air conditioning is sweating. And we're going, and it's raining, humid, dry, humid, raining, humid, dry, humid. I even slipped and fell in a Buddhist temple walking off the stairs. Whoa! Just because it was so moist. In that time, I'd be sharing the gospel, just teaching all these kids lessons, Bible stories, just sharing of God's faithfulness, but relating it to real life. And I'd be in this corridor, this room, where there was no light because the power was off. So all the kids had candles, but there's no airflow because you're in a concrete box. And so I just remember just sweat everywhere. Like, oh, Lord, this is so brutal. So finally, one day, after our busyness ends the first week, that one of the assignments I have is I'm going to take pictures of all the kids so that we could put them online for, we were writing grants for the Canadian government and another government to help get support for the kids' home. So we're taking pictures of the kids, and I see this girl walk down the stairs. You can guess what girl that is. Wow, what a babe. But then I said, no, Lord, you and me, we got a lot to do. There's a big kingdom to build. I just want you. That's it. That relationship stuff is for the birds. But the Lord knew. He spoke and he said it. He said it wasn't good for man to be alone. I needed help. In that moment, I just said, no, forget it, Lord. So I continued to take pictures. I didn't even talk to this girl from the stairs. A couple days later, I'm in the hotel room. Now I'm processing because I hate the heat and I'm so tired of eating rice and I'm so tired of mosquito bites. Lord, I can't handle this. I counted 200 mosquito bites on the outside of one ankle. That was just one side and I got tired of counting. I said, I'm done. Lord, you said you'll protect me from perilous pestilence. What's going on? But he did. I didn't get malaria. That's wonderful. Yeah. And when I got dengue fever, I got prayed over and healed on the spot. So it was okay. He protects us from the perilous pestilence. Even though sometimes it looks like we're getting the attack. Like, oh, what's happening? My ankles. They're so small. But the Lord delivers us. So I'm praying and I'm venting. Lord, I'm so tired of rice. I'm so tired of being in Asia. I just want a pizza and a margarita or something, Lord. Keeping it real. Margarita means daisy. I just wanted a flower, Lord. So he interrupts me in my prayer. He interrupts me as I'm venting and I'm just, I can't handle this. He says, if you want a wife, just ask me. No, Lord, I prayed for crazy things. Lord, you provided all these airplane rides. And when I needed a place to live, you provided it. When I needed a car, you provided it. When I asked you to live on a boat, you provided a free boat. All of this, you did it all. I'm not going to ask you for a wife. I'm terrified because you'll answer that. And that's scary. Oh, Lord. So, and then there was the, oh, Lord, I just, oh, man. I didn't realize that he was carrying so much baggage, all the wounds from past relationships that relations sunk. They were, and so, I'm a dad, it happens. So, this was brutal. I'm like, Lord, I got a lot of hurt. I don't want to deal with this. Okay, if you want me to ask you, then you can take care of this stuff. And I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, in front of the air conditioner, which is the only place to sit. Here's the AC blasting in my face. And then his spirit just goes, boom. And then I'm on the floor. And I'm on the tile floor just weeping. And he's doing this miracle because when you ask him for help, what's he do? He helps. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from all of them. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard me and he delivered me from all of my troubles. I was on the floor weeping. And he uproots wounds. He's showing me stuff from my childhood. He's just uprooting it. This is why you have this self-defense. And he just takes out the whole thing. And I got wrecked. And I'm crying on this tile floor. Actually trying not to slip in my own tears. Oh, Lord. And then, finally this is done. There's like a, peace. All right, Lord. I ask you for a wife. And then all of a sudden, just boom, this vision of the girl from the stairs. And he just says, clear as day, take her as your wife. And I said, no way. She's like 5 feet tall. I don't even know who she is. I don't know how old she is. She could be one of the kids in the orphanage. And Lord, that would look really bad to the churches that I share, that I took a kid from the orphanage. This is crazy. No way. I'm not going to do it. But then he said again, he said, very clear as day, and I wrote it in my journal, and I'll remember it forever. He said, take her as your wife. She will serve with you, and she will follow you. She is your crown. And I broke down. What does that mean? And so I grabbed the book. It's a good book. You know the author. I know where he lives. You do too. Right there. And in Proverbs 12, it says, the wife of noble character is a crown to her husband. Oh. Well, fine, Lord, if that was you, then you do the whole thing, because I've gotten my hands involved in relationships, and their relations sank. So you can take care of the rest of this. I'm going to go shower. And I walked into the I took an hour shower. Have you ever done that? When you're just so consumed, you don't know what to do. I just stood there, oh, with cold water, because, you know, it's 150 degrees. Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm not going to do a thing. You can do it. If that was you, you can do it, because I'm not going to. Surrender. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah. We're called to surrender. We're called to surrender to Him. We're called to trust Him. Even against opposition, we're called to trust Him. Even when it doesn't make sense, we're called to trust Him. Surrender. Okay. So I go to the kids' home the next day. I take the taxi. I pull up. I get to the kids, the orphanage. I walk out. I walk into the patio, which had a fan, so it was only felt like 110 degrees. And then this girl walks by. And Brother Chan, who knew nothing about the night before, just says, ah, Richard, I think you're going to marry her. What the heck? Wait, why did you say that? I just feel the Lord told me. Oh, whoa. And then it's time for lunch. And guess who Brother Chan invites to eat lunch with me? He says, hey, come here. And so, whew, I'm nervous. Whoa, who's this girl walking with me? We go into the dining hall, which is, you got to go walk over the sewer and on some bean bags so you don't step in the gutter water. And then you get into the little dining hall, which isn't nice at all. It's pretty crazy. And then there's no chairs at the table. So here I am thinking, well, I'm the big American. I'll get the chair for the lady. And then she just goes like this. She doesn't speak English. And then she gets me a chair. What the heck? And then we get the soup. Because, you know, Asians love eating hot soup when it's 150 degrees. And drinking hot tea with their hot soup while they're eating hot chilies. Wow. So this hot soup is in front of me. And the hot soup, the bowl, all it has is like 4 cloves of garlic in it. Like, whoa. Wow. Cool. And then here she is. I go to get my spoon, and she just stops my hand. What? And I say, Brother Chan, what is she doing? Ah, she's honoring you. And she serves me a bite of soup. What? This is bizarre to me. What the heck? But there were butterflies. Wow, this is wow, Lord. Okay, well, she doesn't speak English. So when we sat next to each other, we would just look at each other. Hi. And then for hours, we would just do that. As we sat in the garden in front of the sewer, just on the only bench in town with the poisonous snakes cruising around. Hi. Good. It was awesome. I couldn't mess it up because I couldn't speak. So this just unfolds for the week. And all of a sudden, for some reason, we're just together every day and it was out of my control. It was organized that we would be together. And here we are together. Whoa, crazy. So then Sunday, Saturday, just out of the blue. Okay, well, I've seen the sign, Lord. This is pretty serious. You're doing something, and I didn't do this. So I took my ring off that my mom had given me when I graduated high school, and she said, this is for when you get engaged. And I said, Mom, that's dumb. When you get engaged, you give a girl a big diamond blingy ring. And she says, well, no, this is for when you get engaged. It's a lot of gold. I said, yeah, but it's a clunky old man ring. Whatever. I wore it, and then all of a sudden, here I am Saturday. Oh, here. Marriage? Marry? Me? And she said, wait. Okay. So Sunday we go to church, and I get to share at this cool church. There's a government spy there making sure I wasn't talking bad about the government. I wouldn't be here if I was. We take this little bicycle taxi back home where the seats are for small people. And I don't know if you've seen me, but I'm not as small as some, as my beautiful bride. And so I'm in the seat. And she's saying, good, good. We make it back, and then she says yes. Oh, okay. Well, cool, I'm leaving tomorrow. So the next day I left. And I was gone for 7 months. So we didn't talk. It was really easy. Well, she didn't speak English, so we really didn't talk. She didn't have a phone. And I actually had to leave the next day. So here I am like, okay, I'm going to marry you. She's going to marry me. See you in 7 months. 7 months, bye. Crazy. Doesn't make any sense. Just like surrender doesn't make any sense. Just like trusting God doesn't make any sense. Because we're really good at procuring things for ourselves when we want things, but we're not supposed to do that. He calls us to trust in Him more so than for us to trust in ourselves, you know. So 7 months go by, and I'm gone. Ministry all over the world, which was cool. And I got to Indonesia right after that and told my friend, hey, Jeffrey, I got engaged. What? Told my parents, hey, I got engaged. Who is she? I don't know. Do you love her? I don't know. What, tell me about her. She works in an orphanage? Pretty wild. 7 months go by. The Lord blessed me to pay for her to go to a English school. So she got to learn English. So 7 months later when I came back, I called from Malaysia, called Brother Chan. I said, hey, Brother Chan, I'm back, man. Can you pick me up tomorrow? Yes. And so he brings Grace. Wow. I had to walk out of the airport like, hey, there's my fiance. How cool. What's up, girl? You want to get some food? So we went and we spent a lot of time together. So that month, I was in Myanmar that month. By faith, God provided, God sustained, God did it all. Because keep in mind, I had no salary the entire time. Everything didn't make sense to the world, but it only made sense when you follow Jesus. It was, Lord, I'd like to go back. Okay, here you go. Well, thanks for the flight. You know, and when you stay in the country, I have to stay in a government-sanctioned hotel. And they don't take ATM cards, so you got to fly in with a bunch of crisp $100 bills with no marks on them. And so you feel really unnerved, like coming into a country with thousands of dollars in a bag that you can't stash anywhere. But God took care of it. He blessed me with the money to get there. So I got there. We go to her family's house in a village in the town of P. Can you say P? So we went to P. I laughed a lot when she told me that. We went to P. We got to see her family. Her dad did this. Her dad and the other elders, because her dad's a pastor and a church planter, and he worked for Gospel for Asia for 20-something years. And they'd go and share the gospel in places that there was no gospel. And they've had death threats. They've been stoned. Her dad's had a knife to his throat by Buddhist monks saying, leave now or we'll kill you. And they've walked away from their house and everything that they had, and they literally had to leave on the spot. They've had a house burned. They've gone through a lot to share the gospel. But they're amazing people, incredibly wonderful and humble. Walk into their bamboo house with dirt floors, and they're just so excited, like, oh. I didn't understand anything. It was all translated, but God did a great thing by putting us together. Okay. So the elders at the church come together, and here they are up on the stage, and I'm on my knees with Grace on the floor. And they're praying this blessing. I didn't even know what they were saying, but man, you could feel the power of God over that. Just boom, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, boom. And I could understand some names, but I couldn't understand anything else. Whoa, crazy. So that month ends, and I say, I'll be back again in 7 months. Let's get married. Now she could understand it. Cool. So then I take off again. This time we could talk. She had a phone. The government there had shifted so much so that there was ATMs now, and you could get a phone card. But phones for people there, that's half of a year's salary for somebody to buy a phone. So it was very rare. They just got them in 2012. We've had them for 21 years. They just got them. So take off. I come back, and now I'm in the States. Lord, I got to go get married. Well, I've got $40. Lord, I'm just going to write it down and surrender this to you. Write it on the piece of paper, rip it up, and say, it's yours. Oh, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Okay, I trust you. So time had gone by. Now it's December. We have a plan to get married January 25th. We've got friends from Iran, Kenya, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, the U.S., Hawaii, all coming to the wedding. This is cool. I got to go in 2 weeks, but I got $40. But it's yours. Lord, it's yours. And I go to church, and a friend says, hey, do you have your flight to get married yet? I said, no, not yet, but the Lord's going to do it. He said, great, we want to do that for you. Oh, cool. Phew, at least I can go. Then a friend calls me. He says, hey, Richard, my nickname's Chardo. He said, hey, Chardo, come to my office. Okay. He's like, hey, how you doing on cash? And at that time, I had $6 to my name. But not to worry. Everything was always covered because our God provides all our needs by the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So my $6, I said, oh, I got $6. Do you need it? He's like, no. Here. And he took a check out and he wrote a check for $6,000. He said, here, this is for you. Go get married. God bless you. Whoa. Who does that? Okay, Lord, I'm going to get married. And all of a sudden, just like, money came because he's faithful. Oh, blessed is the one who trusts in him. I ripped it up. I left the fear and left the worry. God did it. So I flew out and we got married. But now we're stuck overseas. I married a woman that's not an American, so she can't readily come back to America. I married a woman whose passport is good for 14 countries, Kosovo, Armenia, Bahamas, and some other random places in the world that you don't usually go to, unless it's the Bahamas. Okay, Lord, got to pay for the wedding, got to fly in some friends, got to fly in some guests, had a wonderful time. It was just this fellowship and communion from people all over the world coming together, and we rejoiced. It was beautiful. It was something really precious that happened when all the communities, like nations, got together and celebrated a union, which is what's going to happen when we go to heaven. All the nations will be together. We're going to have a big party. Yeah. So I said, Lord, we're going to just honeymoon for a year. Your word says, if a man is newly married, he must not be sent off to work, nor should he have any load, he must not be sent to war, nor should he have any load of work placed upon his shoulders, for he must stay home to bring pleasure to his wife. And I said, yeah, Lord, that's awesome. I want that. I'll take it. So guess what happened? The Lord that we can trust, who's faithful, who's sufficient for all of our needs. Our God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Wow, he's so good. We went. We got blessed with a 5-star villa on a beach on an island in Thailand for free. We got to stay at a church in Thailand for free where the wonders of God are incredibly present, where miracles happen every day. Lord, we need rain. Starts raining. Whoa. Okay, Lord, that's a lot of rain. It's about to flood. Rain stops. That stuff actually happens, and it's powerful. There's king cobras everywhere, and they're like 20 feet long or something. And the church had one wall, and the rest of it was open. And king cobras would come in because there was shade and there's sun right outside, so they had this little opportunity, and it'd be mice inside because mice would hide where there's crumbs from food. And the church just said, hey, Lord, protect it from snakes. And you could see a snake right outside, a king cobra, and vipers, you know, big teeth. They'll get you right outside. And they wouldn't come into the church. Like, wow, they won't cross the threshold into the church. So we spent a month there. Then we went, ended up down in Indonesia, where the Lord, by his goodness, because he says no good thing will he withhold from those uprightly, he says it. So I said, okay, you could do it. I get to walk in your righteousness. You are my righteousness. So you say you won't withhold good things from the righteous, but I have your righteousness. That means I have everything I ever need because I have your righteousness. Right? So we get blessed with a free villa in Indonesia, in Bali, for a year, with the doors that all open up to a pool. And our bathroom had the shower inside and a shower outside, all secluded. Fruit trees, Komodo dragons. It was wild. The Lord did it. And then the Lord just continued to do it again and again and again. So for 2 years, we honeymooned by faith, and God took care of it. Where we didn't have any agenda, and our focus wasn't to go and build the kingdom, but was to enjoy each other, because that's what he wants us to do with him. You see, a husband wants to delight in the bride, and the bride to delight in the husband. That's our mission in life, to delight in him as he delights in us. And that's where life comes from. See, he gives us the picture in marriage. The husband and wife together brings life. The husband and us, the bride together, brings life. You see, the more that he can be inside of me and flow through me, the more life that there's inside of me that flows through me. The more life that's inside of us when we are in him. He says, abide in me and I in you, as you can't bear fruit apart from me. You can't do anything good apart from me. So just stay in me. And stay in me that your peace would remain and your joy would stay full. Stay in me. That's the secret place. So the Father wants to enjoy us, his bride. And I'm going to share with you a vision. This happened, I don't know what year, but not recently, years ago, where I was in Indonesia. I was in an orphanage. I lived in a sweatbox room with no windows, just a hole in the ceiling that rats would come out of. And it was, again, 100 million degrees. And the only respite I could have would be going to the really dirty bathroom and pour water on myself from a little bucket and then go sit in front of my big steel fan that had no cage on the front. Totally dangerous. A week before that happened, a rat came out, hit the fan, and went brrrr again. But my futon was red, so it was okay. Out of sight, out of mind. You can't see it. So I'm sitting, I sit in front of my fan, which is kind of what you do when it's a million degrees, and I just get knocked out. The Lord shows up, and I see the Father, and I see Jesus. And Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. Makes sense. You see it in the book. And Jesus is on the edge of his seat. I'm going to illustrate for you. Is that okay? Yes. He's on the edge of his seat, and he's saying, Father, can I go? That's my bride. I want them. Look, they're calling out for me. I need them. I want them. They're hurting without me. Can I go get them? And the Father says, no. And then here's Jesus, persistent, saying, but Father, look. Look, they're hurting. They're crying out for me. Look what's happening. They need me. Soon, the Father said. And then again, Jesus, now in more anticipation and excitement, is crying out for us. That's my bride. I want my bride. Can I go and get them, Lord? And the Father said, soon. And then I woke up. And then this word danced on. This sounds poetic, and it was poetic because it's what happened in the moment. The word anticipation just floated around the room. Anticipation. Anticipation. Our God is coming back. Our King is coming back. He said he's coming back. And he told us that things would not be easy. You see, birth pains start and birth pains don't subside when they start. They increase and they intensify. When persecution happens, there's a lot more growth. Look at the church in China. When stuff got crazy, the church got bigger. When the persecution was heavy and their lives were at stake, more lives were saved. See, we have a Jesus that's coming back, and the persecution's going to start. But you know what? Now's the time to be trumpets. Now's the time we get to stand up like, I believe in Jesus, and you can't harm me. You could take my body, but I know where I'm going. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen. Come on, bro.
We're going to be facing this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't have to be afraid, because he said, fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you in my righteous right hand, he says. I did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Even yesterday, I was listening to Sidney Powell, who was saying, the Lord did not give me a spirit of fear. And she said, she called out publicly and said, churches open. People gather, meet, and pray. Because there is only extreme darkness and brilliant light. There's nothing in the middle. And extreme darkness wants to take over, but we're on the side of the brilliant light that's going to win. But don't be scared of the darkness. You see, he wants to come for his bride. I was excited to go get married, and I'm still excited to be married. That's awesome. 7 years this month. The perfect number, right? A year of rest. Delight in him. Be one with him. Forsake the world and just jump into Jesus. He's everything. He's our life. He's the only hope that you can ever have. He's the comforter, more so than the blanket on your bed. He's the security more than the lock on your door. He is your helper more than the money in your bank account. Because we know all that can disappear right away. He's there. He'll never fail. Delight in him. Enjoy him. And let his life flow through you. So, Patrick, you're right here. You've been right in the front. Sorry if I spit on you. I'm glad you had your windshields on. Would you jump on up and thank you, bro. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pass this on to Jack. Is that okay? Okay. You are everything. 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 It's in you that we live and move and have our being. All things are from you, through you, and to you. You have the preeminence in all things. Have the preeminence in us. When people look at us, I don't want them to see us anymore. Let them only see you. Only you. The life that we live now is dead, but now we live it by faith in you. Your word, when Paul writes that I've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so my brothers and sisters, it's Christ who lives in us, and Christ is victorious. And Christ is not intimidated by BLM. He's not intimidated by Antifa. He's not intimidated by agendas of death and destruction. Christ stands up for what's right, and he has victory over it, and he lives inside of us. And so may we be empowered by his Holy Spirit to rise up, to be trumpets in this time of life where we've never experienced before. Lord, would you empower us? You've gone before us. You hedge us before and behind. You are with us. And thank you that you set your angels charge concerning us. You will watch us and keep us in all of our ways. And you set your angels to encamp around the righteous. We like camping. Your angels like camping. They encamp around us to protect us and deliver us. Thank you, Lord, that our weapons in you are mighty. And thank you, Lord, that we are victorious in all things. And through you, we get to diffuse the fragrance of Christ. Be glorified in our lives, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, bro. I just, hold on. Let us just go. Well, yeah, just at the end. Hey. Yeah, we just, Lord, we thank you. I just feel like prophetically, we just need to close our eyes and just begin to thank God. This is a new year. And just begin to thank him where you are. Lord, we thank you, Lord. You are worthy. Just begin to prophesy things over your life. Not what you see, but how God sees it in the Word. Lord, we thank you, God, for this new year. We thank you for a blessing to pour out over our family. We thank you for perfect health. We thank you for blessing our businesses. We thank you for blessing our communities. We thank you for blessing the business owners in our communities, the fabric of our society. God, we thank you. We thank you for exposing the darkness with your marvelous light. This is the season I believe God is going to expose. Corruption will be no longer. Justice will be served. I believe this is the Joel 2 moment. God will return what the enemy has stolen for your life and for promises that he spoke over you years ago. Lord, I pray that you would just bring to remembrance those promises that you spoke over your people. People are going to stand before God one day. Father, Father, I prophesied in your name. I healed the sick. Is he going to say, but I didn't know you? I pray that this new year will bring a greater meaning of relationship to your home, to your family. We can't just go to church. We can't just see God one time a week and know him. What is God speaking to you right now? Everyone close your eyes, and what is God speaking to your heart right now? What do you need to lay down this new year? What is entangling your life that you can't fulfill what God has called you to do? We're going to take communion, but it's serious. It's not something you do just and take it lightly. It has meaning. And I believe right where you're at, if God begins to start showing you these things, begin to repent. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for your heart. Come on. You alone are worthy. I believe he's speaking to you right now. Maybe it's putting too much time at work. Well, Lord, I have to provide. And he says, no, I'm the provider. Why would you need me if you were the provider? Our family is our first ministry. We have to have balance. And it's super hard. That's God's heart. Maybe God's asking you to lay that down this year. Or maybe it's to know the word and what the word says and know it, what it means, right? Sometimes we think we quote scriptures all day long, but we don't believe it. Maybe this year God's saying, believe what I've said. Are you going to stand there and look like a fool for me? Right? So if you guys would just come up and grab the elements when you guys are ready. And I just believe repentance is key to communion, right? We need to have a repentant heart. We can't just take communion non-repentant. It's serious. It means something. And it's powerful. So I'll let Patrick sing a song here. And you guys can get your elements.
Who can melt the hardest heart? Speak life into my soul. Who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Yeah. Who can search the depths of me? Love me to the core. Who controls the world I see and walks me through it all? No one but you.
Corinthians 11:23-30. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this and remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why..." Yeah, so Lord, we thank you, God, for your body and your blood that you shed. And we do this in remembering you this new year. Father, and we just declare and decree over your church this year, God, that peace would be our portion. that we would have greater relationship with you. God, that we would know you and be known by you. Lord, help this new year be a time where we spend time in secret with you. It's not about being seen. It's about our time with you when no one's watching. So Lord, we thank you just for speaking to our hearts, God, and all that you're doing this year. And we thank you, though it's going to be stormy, that you're in the boat with us. And there's peace that passes all understanding to guard our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. So I bless you guys. We can, if you need some prayer, you can come up. We'll just let Patrick close in some worship. Stay if you want to worship. And you guys enjoy your day and have a great 2021. The best is yet to come. Come on.
Family, we just want to pray for Rich and Jack and Raymond, who's not here today, as they go into D.C. I really feel led by the Lord to pray for them. So Roxanne, Will, Joe, Michelle, you went to D.C. Come on, because we all went to D.C. for Let Us Worship, and we want to just bless them and anybody else who feels led. So, Lord, I say thank you for their boldness, their strength, their courage, the light of Christ that shines so beautifully through them with love and boldness and strength and dignity and integrity and the light of Christ shining through them. We say thank you for sending them. Holy Spirit, lead their every footstep to meet the people there are to meet, to pray for, to encounter, to intercede, to prophesy, to feed, to do whatever you call them to do in D.C. But what I think is so beautiful is they are going. They're going and they're standing for you, Lord, shining lights. Anybody else?
The greater the resistance, the greater the victory. Woo! Woo! So the Lord, he wins every battle. He wins every battle. And he's already won this battle. And he's sending you forth. And he's already gone before you. He's already gone before you. And he's girded you guys up. He has. He's girded you up. And you are not just soldiers for the nation, but for Christ. So you're going where you're called to go in the midst of it. Woo! And I just want to honor your wives today, too. Thank you, Lord, for praying wives and trusting in you that they are covered by the blood of Jesus. This is a time for the church to rise up, to rise up. It's not time for us to awaken the sheep. It's time to awaken the sleeping lions. So let's go. Let's go.
Oh, Lord, Washington, D.C. has a charge like no other city I have ever been to in my entire life, and I've been there twice in my life, Lord. And I just saw an undercurrent, a charge within the ground, Lord. And these men that we're sending forth there, they're going to tap into that charge, Lord, as they're charging the power within that city, Lord, with your power, Lord, with divine appointments, and also with the power to break the spiritual strongholds over our nation, Lord. We just pray for clarity and divine appointments for these men going forth, Lord, that these are our spies going out to lay the scape of the land, Lord, like Joshua and Caleb, Lord, to come back with a good report, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for the spirit of Joshua and Caleb to come up in these men, Lord. And we await a miraculous report.
Lord, oh, clothe them, Lord, with the shining garments of righteousness. Your shining garment of righteousness on them. Clothe them, Lord, so that they glow. That your power would just come off them, Lord, and radiate.
We say thank you for all the angels that will be with you and guarding you, and all those in this nation and maybe even outside of this nation that are choosing to go there. We say thank you for your godly wisdom, your protection, the Lord of hosts, the angels that are protecting and guiding these people that are going. But our three men from our place that are representing us, you, and this region and this state, we bless them in the name of Yeshua.